small testimony. To you guys, it might be small, but to me, it's pretty big. Probably a $2,000 testimony, because lightning hit our refrigerator 3 times, and it burned up the fan. And we had a repairman come out, and he kept on saying, well, I don't know, and this and this and this. And I thought, oh, my gosh. So I thought, And he called the next day, and he says, I'm coming out to fix your refrigerator. The fix on the refrigerator, $60. Amen. 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 That beat a whole much better than buying a whole new refrigerator. Well, I had a discussion with the Lord about this today. Well, not today, actually last week. I was all ready to do a minister on I Am in the Book of John. Pretty straightforward, easy, felt comfortable with it, had been studying it for months. And the Lord said, that's not where I want you to go. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5. And I said, Lord, I've never heard anyone preach on that. He goes, you will. I went, oh. But I am going to touch a little bit, because this is how it got in there. The Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes you'll be studying something, and all of a sudden he'll lead you to something else. And that's what happened. So I've been studying in the Book of John all those I Am statements. And there are like 7 of them. And then there are 2, there's 7 proclamations where Jesus said, I am, and then there's 2 declarations. So I had been studying those. Then all of a sudden, the Lord showed me this one thing that was so powerful. I thought, there's something to this, Jill. There's something more to this that I'm not seeing. I don't have this scripture up there, but I'll take you there. It's in Exodus 3:14. This is where Moses is standing by the burning bush. And this is what it says. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and say to them, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is a covenant name that God gave himself. That covenant name in the Hebrew is Yahweh. How many of you guys know that? A lot of you know that. I know Jill knows it. Yahweh. When the priest, the only way they would say that word Yahweh out of reverence to God is in the temple. When they wrote it, they would take a ceremonial bath. They would wash their utensils. And they never wrote the full name. They dropped the vowels. That's how much reverence they had for the name. Now, in our Bibles, it's translated Lord. And you can see it in this. The translators, when they saw the name Yahweh in the original scriptures, they capitalized all the letters. So when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Yahweh. Okay? Now here's the thing. And this is what took me to that place in 1 John. Let's go to John chapter 18, verse 4 and 5. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? Remember, he was in the garden, and the soldiers came, and they wanted to take him away. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, here's the thing in the original scriptures where he says, I am he. He didn't say, I am he. He just said, I am. And guess what it was? The covenant name. What he said, Jesus said, they asked him, where is Jesus and who is he? Where is he? Jesus said, I am. He looked at them and said, Yahweh. How many of you know what the soldiers did then, what they did? Then what did they do, Angelo? They fell to the ground. They couldn't stand to his. He revealed that he was the Son of God. And when he revealed that for that moment, they couldn't stand. They fell to the ground. Is that not amazing? Did you guys know that? I mean, they actually, can you imagine him turning to them and saying, Yahweh. They hit the ground. And then Jesus did this. Did he fight them when he took them? No. Nope. He just surrendered. He let them. He surrendered that for us. Then I got to thinking, that's very important. And what is that? What was the purpose of that, Lord? Why did you turn to them and say, Yahweh? Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by blood, by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree as one. Now, Larry's back there. He goes to court on a lot of cases. Larry, when someone goes to court and they've got three collaborating witnesses, valid witnesses, to plead their case, what's their chances of winning that case? Pretty good. Pretty good. Jesus' case, his witnesses were both in heaven and earth. All those I am statements that he made in the book of John, he substantiated them with things that he did. When you look at all those things, I am the bread of life. Just before that, he fed the 5,000 people. I'm the light of the world. Right after he said that, he healed a blind man. I'm the door. He's referring to Psalm 23, which we're studying in our Bible study with the church. I'm the good shepherd. Again, going back to the Old Testament, bringing it up to the New Testament. I'm the resurrection of life. Raised Lazarus from the dead. All through these I am scriptures, he's substantiating, he's laying a foundation for his case that he is the Son of God. John brings it into 1 John when he wrote the book 1 John, and he says these are the three witnesses. Jesus Christ, he says, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, the Spirit of truth. For there are three witnesses in heaven, the Father. Let me ask you this. When Jesus was being baptized, Tommy, And he went down. When he came up, in an audible voice, who spoke? God the Father. Witness. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then after that, what landed on him, Angelo? Representing? Witness. Then Jesus witnessed of himself. The soldiers came to the garden. We're looking for Jesus. He turned to him and said, Yahweh. He witnessed of himself. So we got the three witnesses in heaven. Now let's look at this. If I was to ask any of you if you wanted to be raised from the dead and go to heaven, how many would say, oh yeah, I want that? You know, those three witnesses and those other three witnesses live in you as a Christian. They live in you as a Christian. If I went on to ask why you believe that, now, because have any of you heard this teached before? Anyone? No. Now you know. Now you know. The answer is throughout the Bible, in 1 John chapter 5, where John answers any doubts of what the Christian reward is. The three witnesses who testify what Jesus said about our eternal life. This concept of three witnesses confirming the valid statements and events found in the Old Testament. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6 and 7. Why did Jesus go through the trouble proving who he was? Shouldn't we have just believed him, Ernie? Yeah. But he didn't leave that for us to just take it in on ourselves to believe him. He substantiated it. Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of how many witnesses? Two to three. Two to three witnesses, he shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. The hands of a witness shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people, those people that said, no, he doesn't deserve death, those witnesses next. So we shall put away the evil from among you. So even in the Old Testament, the concept of having a witness was a valid way of proving what was truth and what was not. That exists today. You can ask Larry, any of you been to court? Had to have a witness. It's for today too. It exists today. It exists then. It exists now. Jesus used this with his disciples for settling disputes. Look at Matthew 18:16. Matthew 18:16. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So if you got a problem with someone in the church, and they don't believe you when you talk to them about it, take two or three witnesses with you. That's how it's properly done, to find what the truth is. Who's the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's 1 John 5:5. Let's look at that. 1 John 5:5 through 6. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood. Water was the baptism of Jesus. Blood was his crucifixion. Remember I said on earth those three witnesses were water, the Holy Spirit, water, and blood. okay, on earth. And it is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is truth. All right. This includes everything that goes with it. Once you accept Jesus, you accept the three witnesses that bore witness to who he was. And this includes what you accept as repentance and baptism in a faithful living or becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. And doing this your whole life, perseverance. You accept that. There was a false teaching during Jesus' time. They called these people heretics. They were opposed to the truth. They didn't accept the truth. John had to prove to them who Jesus was. That's why he went through this trouble. We have those people today. They have different labels. I was out talking to Kelly because I wanted to get real specific on these labels. Remember when I talked to you about an atheist? I said, Kel, what's the difference between an atheist and an agnostic? So then I looked it up. An atheist is a person who doesn't believe in God at all. Not at all. An agnostic doesn't know if there's a God. There may be a God. There may not be a God. I don't know. I was telling her, I think an agnostic maybe have a chance. But an atheist, I'm not sure. If they don't even believe that there's a God, they had a problem. That's a big problem. For one thing, they're denying the three witnesses. Let's look at Matthew 3:17. Kelly's real big on scriptures to support things. So was her mother. Wonder where she got that from. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. All right. Remember I told you about the witness? The Father. Man, if you can get the Father God to say who you were, don't you believe you are what he says you are? Amen. Okay. Then look at John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you what things will come. Did Jesus send the Holy Spirit? Did he do what he said he was going to do? Yes. All three witnesses, both on heaven and on earth, are in agreement. John now brings forth all three witnesses and attests to the truth of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. There are over a period of 1,400 years, Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies, attesting to who he was. Now, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the apostles wrote the Word of God. It guided the apostles in writing concerning Christ. Look at 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecies never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Another witness. The first witness, like I said, was the Holy Spirit through the prophets and fulfilled prophecy. Second witness, the water. During Jesus' water baptism, the Holy Spirit landing on him. And an audible voice of the Father saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let's look at the third witness of blood. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Did Jesus fulfill all of those things? He did. In a court of law, three collaborating witnesses create a basis for believing that something is true. Now, here's a real stickler. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. This one, I believe this is a scripture. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. If you believe in, remember I told you have these witnesses in you? If you believe in the Son of God, you've accepted him as your Savior, you have those witnesses in you. You have the Holy Spirit, okay? You have the baptism of water. You should be baptized with water, okay? He who does not, and you have his blood, the atonement for your sin. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. If you don't accept the three witnesses, you don't accept God the Father. God has made him, he who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony, what testimony? Of the three witnesses that God has given his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I presented to you today who exactly Jesus was. Because in the world today, people will try to put doubt in you that Jesus is not the Son of God, but he is. He is. And the only way that he can reveal himself to you is for you to grow in the Word, to accept him more, and to grow in the Word and the knowledge of him. Now, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead is the most compelling evidence that he is who he says he is. Now here's the thing. A disciple is a learner of Jesus Christ. He is a follower of Jesus Christ. It is saying with my whole heart, I surrender who I am and I want more of him in me. How do you get more of him in you? You have to know that word. And you have to know him personally. Personally. Yeah, last week, Angelo was preaching. He said, how many of you have surrendered to the Lord? What he was saying, have you surrendered every part of you? Is there some part of you that is not surrendered? Or maybe sometimes I was telling Sam today, where's Sam? It's good when everybody's nice and sweet to you. It's easy to show the fruit of the Spirit. Be kind and gentle and meek. When you get someone that's not so kind and gentle and meek, you don't want to be kind, gentle, and meek back, do you? It's harder. But is that what the Word wants us to do, Pastor Kelly? It's hard. It's hard. So you have to grow in the Word. Now, here's my question for you. Honey, can you come up here with me? Tommy, I talked today about three witnesses in heaven and three witnesses on earth. Can you tell me maybe the three witnesses in heaven? I'll help you. The Father, you remember the second one? The Word, which is the Son, the Holy Spirit. On earth, three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, the blood for our atonement. All those live in you as Christians. Now here's what I want you to ask yourself. I want you to be honest, because I'm being honest with myself. I'm not totally surrendered. There's times when Millie kicks in there, especially when someone's kind of nasty. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Frank? Yeah. I want to be nasty back. Now, my husband brags on me all the time. My daughter brags on me all the time. But they have seen me at my worst. One time, those girls were fighting in the back seat. I had enough. I had enough of their fighting. I had a glass of ice water beside me. You know what I did, Jill? I tossed it on them. They stopped immediately. You know what they said? We're telling Dad. You know what I told them? He ain't my daddy. So I do have my moments. Do you have your moments? If you have those moments, you want to help the Lord, have the Lord help you during those moments to remember who he was and what lives inside of you. Who's going to stand with you when you stand before that white throne of judgment? Will you stand with me? I'm going to let my husband pray for you.
Father, all of us that are standing right now, we commit to the word, the witnesses, the spirit, the water, and the blood. We embrace them and we receive them and we don't reject them. And help each and every one of us, Lord, in this life to become the people that we should be. Each one of us inside of us. If you know tonight one thing in your life that you'd like to change in your life, raise your right hand. Father, everybody that has their right hand raised, in Jesus' name, they're acknowledging, they're acting on this word that was just taught to them. And they voluntarily, joyfully give you, Father, these problems and ask for your help. We all need you. We need your spirit, and we need your son, our high priest, the forgiver of mankind. Thank you, Father. And everyone said amen.
Amen.